Night. Well, Merry Christmas, everyone. At least Christmas Eve. My memories of Christmas Eve go all the way back to when I can first remember anything. I remember always in our little town of Breed, Iowa, we would have a Christmas Eve service, and it was a big thing to be able to stay awake till that time. And then when I certainly got in high school, I looked even forward to that time, and then staying up even after that. This is my 20th Christmas Eve here at Lakeside Fellowship. Back in the early days when we met in the school, we could never get a building on Christmas Eve. So we could get somebody from the school to open up on Christmas Eve Eve. So we'd have a Christmas Eve Eve service. And then when we got this building, we were able to pick a schedule that was more friendly for us. So I'm very, very thankful that you're here tonight. We did have a very special service at 4 o'clock, and I trust that God is working in your hearts. This is always a special service for me because I feel like in the hustle and bustle of going on and buying gifts and opening gifts and all the fun of that and trying to get to everybody's relatives and keep everybody happy and which year is it, where are we going, that kind of thing. This is like an hour set aside to be like an oasis, just kind of a time to quiet your heart, and I pray that happens tonight. Any way you cut it, the shepherds were outsiders. They were outsiders. They were outsiders literally, and they were outsiders figuratively. They were outsiders by occupation, and they were outsiders by reputation. And I just want you to, for a moment, as we think on the Christmas story, highlight the shepherds. I want you to consider with me the shepherd's status or their station in life. The shepherds are only mentioned in the Gospel of Luke. There's four Gospels. Only Luke mentions the shepherds, and they're nameless. And I've always wondered, you know, God names names. There's other names throughout the story. The angel Gabriel is named, and Elizabeth is named, and Mary and Joseph obviously are named. The wise men from the Orient are not named, but the shepherds are not named. And I think that that's a device by the Lord, by God himself, because he wants to identify with each and every one of us. And so for some of you, I think after hearing about the shepherds, maybe you could put your name in there. If this does identify you, then I'm thankful that you're here especially. So I think of two words when I think of the shepherds as outsiders. The two words that came to my mind this week as I meditated on the shepherds are the two words undervalued and overlooked. Undervalued, overlooked. You may or may not know that the shepherds were normally the youngest male child in the family. History records that many shepherds weren't even teenagers yet. So if you did hand out a Christmas card or you have a thing or whatever and you see the shepherds with beards, maybe, but maybe not. I wanted a beard when I was 13, but I didn't have one. My mom wouldn't have allowed it anyways. If you remember the story when they were looking for the next king after Saul in the Old Testament in 1 Samuel, and Samuel, the prophet, was to go find the next king, and God would show him who he was. And so he goes to this family in Bethlehem, and the father brings out his seven sons. Each one walked before Samuel, and Samuel said, no, that's not the Spirit of God. That's not the one. Do you have any other sons? And David's father said, well, I have one other son, my youngest son. He's out tending the sheep. And Samuel says, call him and bring him here. And as soon as Samuel saw him, he anointed him as the king. So most often, the youngest one in the family. Maybe you can just identify with the fact of where you're at in the birth order. The shepherds never stayed in any place very long whatsoever. They were always on the move. And no matter how young they were, they slept most nights on the ground. Now, in that day, you didn't have a nation necessarily to protect you. So every town, every little community would have city walls, and they would open up the gates at certain times. But the shepherds, no matter how young they were always sleeping outside the gates. They tended the sheep for the temple. These particular shepherds were watching their flocks at night around Jerusalem and in Bethlehem, and there's about a 6-mile difference from Jerusalem down to Bethlehem, and they were out in the fields between those two places. But their job was to tend the sheep that would be sacrificed in the temple. And for almost 1,500 years, they themselves, the shepherds, were never allowed in the temple. They raised the sheep for the temple, but there was always you're not welcome in the temple. And there was a couple of reasons. They were dirty by nature, but the main reason is that they couldn't keep the Sabbath. They couldn't keep the Saturday and not do any work. They were the only group of people that had to work on the Sabbath. Somebody had to tend the sheep. So by the very nature of what they did, they were ceremonially unclean and then barred from the temple. Can you imagine the bitterness of doing something so vital for the temple and yet not allowed in the temple? Well, there was a feast going on, and so everybody was going back, and there was a census going on. And while everybody else attended the feast, these shepherds were tending sheep. The religious community snubbed their noses at the shepherds. When you read the historical accounts, for most shepherds, their best friend was an animal. Maybe you can identify with that. They would name their sheep. They would spend months with that flock of sheep, and they'd have a name. There would be a personality for each one. They would talk to the sheep, and the sheep didn't necessarily talk back, and maybe that's good. Maybe you would appreciate that this Christmas season. They were stuck in a dead-end job. They were never committed, allowed to give a testimony in court. Their word was no good. There's a phrase that they use for themselves. Actually, I don't recommend the song, but Eric Church, musician, has a song called "Outsider," and in that song, he uses a phrase that the shepherds actually used amongst themselves. And here's the phrase: "Together alone." The shepherds had this phrase that they were together as shepherds, but they were all alone like nobody else. I can't tell you, as a pastor over 25, 30 years, how many people have told me in their life that they could be in a group this size, and yet in their heart of hearts, they were all alone. They were the most lonely people in all of the world. Together alone. Their only friends were really other shepherds. So they were outsiders, literally and figuratively. They were outsiders by occupation and reputation. But here's what struck me this week. And to me, isn't this just like God? So though they were the ultimate outsiders to men and women, they got the greatest inside scoop from God of all times. They got the greatest news, the greatest first blessing of the birth of the child. I looked up the phrase inside scoop. Where did that come from? And it's actually a phrase from journalism, not surprising. And a little over 150 years ago, a guy broke a story. He got the inside scoop, and he was able to write the article a couple of days ahead of everybody else. He got the inside scoop. So isn't it just like God to take the greatest outsiders and reveal to them the inside scoop? And here it is. It's the greatest news ever told. Let me just read it for you again, just a couple of verses out of the story that Chris so beautifully read for us. In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field. Of course they were in the field. Where else would they be? Keeping watch over their flock, they took personal pride. By night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you, the shepherds, good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Now, I just want you to think about the shepherds. Their own brothers or families didn't really care too much for them. It was just expected for them to be out there. And they hear an angel of God. And the angel of God says, "I've got great news to you. I come. The news is for all people, not just those smug religious people in the temple. Unto you, shepherds, I've given a Savior who is a deliverer." This would have been unbelievable to the shepherds. It would have been the most beautiful thing that they've ever heard. It was majestic. It's the only time probably ever recorded in their lives where they immediately left their sheep and they headed to Bethlehem to find out. Unto you, this beautiful news. It wasn't 4 or 5 weeks ago, right here on a Sunday morning, and Pastor Joel had preached a message, and I was standing in the back, and a 26-year-old lady came back there, and she was weeping, and as I grabbed another lady, we went back to my office to talk to her. She told me that she had never heard more beautiful words in all the world than the fact that God loved her. She couldn't remember anybody as a 26-year-old, ever saying to her, "I love you." Can you imagine when she heard that God loved her? So to Simeon, the child was revealed as the Christ. To Elizabeth, the child was revealed as the Lord. To Mary, the child was revealed, "You're going to have the Son of God." To the shepherds, the child is going to be the Savior, the Deliverer. Joseph got to hear his name's going to be Jesus, for he will take the people's sins away. He will save them from their sins. The name Jesus itself means the one who saves. C.H. Spurgeon, a pastor of another generation, a prolific writer, had great insights in Scripture that I'd still read today and marveled at the insight that he would get from Scripture. He told this story. A pastor went calling a poor woman in his church, and he took his carriage out to the house, and he knocked on the door. And in his hand, he had some money from the benevolent fund to help the lady. But he knocks on her door, nobody answers. He thought for sure she would be home. So he waited a little bit and he knocked again. Nobody answered. And so eventually he just left. He just went back. He took his little care package and he went back. And on Sunday, he saw the lady. And he said to the lady, "Hey, I came out to your house and I knocked on the door, but nobody answered." And there was quiet for maybe 30 seconds. And the lady said, "Well, when did you come out and knock on my door?" And the pastor said, "Well, Thursday at noon." And she said, "Oh, my." She said, "I was home. I heard the knock, but I thought it was the man to collect the rent, and I didn't have the rent, so I didn't open the door." And the pastor said, "I did not come out to collect the rent. I came out to pay the bill." And I think a lot of people, even if you've grown up in church, your picture of God, you've heard him say, "Well, God's calling you." But your idea of God is he's knocking on my door to collect the rent. He's going to make a demand that I could never do. I can't live up to what he's going to ask. I can't pay what is owed. And the angel says to the shepherds, no, that's the wrong idea of God. He says to the shepherds, I know the men and the religious leaders are barring you from the temple. But there's a Savior coming for you, for all people. And he's not going to come knocking on your door to collect the rent. He's paid the bill, amen? He's paid the bill. Everybody probably knows John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever would believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Like that is one of the most amazing, if not the most amazing verses in all the world, that by believing in Christ's finished work on the cross, I could have my sins taken away, that the very thing that separates me from a holy God. And yet very few people would know John 3:17, the very next verse. So Jesus went on to say after John 3:16, he said, and it was written down in John 3:17, for God did not send, now Jesus is saying this, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. I wonder how many people here tonight, how many people in this North Pole community or wherever you live, how many people have this view of God as he's going to knock on my door to collect the rent? I've got something I owe him. I can't pay. It's never going to work out. He's going to make a demand I could never do. And that would be a lie from the pit of hell, according to the angel and everything written that I read in Scripture. He is knocking. He's not knocking to make a demand. He's knocking to make an offer. Listen to what Jesus said. One of the last things that he said in Scripture that was recorded in the last book of the Bible, book of Revelation. This is Jesus speaking. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And he's talking about the door of your heart. If anyone hears my voice, now this isn't written, but I'll just add this in. Don't go hide behind the couch. Don't shut off the lights and pull the curtains down. If anyone will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him or her and I'll have a meal with them and they will have a meal with me. Isn't that the greatest news you've ever heard in your life? Your sins and my sins have separated us from a holy God. But Christ, born in a manger, died on a cross, bridged the gap, paid the bill. You, most of you already know this. He cried out on the cross, tetelestai, which means paid in full, paid in full. There's a Christian musician, Christian artist. I'd highly recommend him to anybody that would want to look him up and go on Spotify. His name's Matt Papa. Man, that's a great name. Now that I'm a grandpa, I wish my last name was Papa. But his name's Matt Papa. And here's what he said about the shepherds and the angel coming to the shepherds. Christianity's first call is not behave. It's behold. It's see the beauty of this sinless Savior who went to the cross with nary a word to take the sins of the world, to take your sins and mine upon himself, to pay the debt we could never pay, to pay the rent we could never pay. And if we just believe in him, we'll have forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Now, why did God bypass Jerusalem, this beautiful temple, all the pomp and circumstance? It's where the animal sheep sacrifices were taking place. Why would God have his angel bypass the city where all the religious leaders and all the religious people were and land a couple miles away with the group that's known for being outsiders, that's known for being ceremonially unclean, who haven't been to the temple in their entire life? Why would God do that? Why would he take this message? Why would he give the inside scoop to the most radical outsiders that the religious community had ever thought about? Why would he do that? Well, there are numerous reasons why, I'm sure. But I reflected on a couple. Jesus himself, his entire life was treated as an outsider. He had the heart. He understood what it was like to be the outsider looking in. There was no room in the guest room. He wasn't born in a NICU. He was born in a manger. He was born outside because there was no room inside. It didn't get any better as he started his ministry. He himself said, "Foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to call home to lay his head." I went back and I checked the crucifixion account, and there's not one record of one of his brothers or sisters. Yes, Mary had other children, so they would be half brothers and sisters with Joseph as the father. There wasn't one brother or sister that's recorded that I could see that was at the cross when he died. There were a few friends. Seems like there were more women disciples than men disciples that were there, but they weren't 12. So Jesus always had a heart for the outsider. He understands what it is to be on the outside looking in. He's the creator God that got rejected by his own creation. Nobody understood what it was to be an outsider. I also think, well, why not tell the shepherds? They're going to go. They're going to be the first witnesses with Mary and Joseph. And wouldn't a shepherd know how to handle a little baby lamb? Certainly would. Every lamb that they raised, every shepherd would have known its ultimate destiny was to be sacrificed at the temple. Maybe they even understood that. So in closing, have you personally responded to the good news of great joy that Jesus Christ is not only Lord, he's not only the anointed one, but first and foremost, he's Savior? Can you honestly say that you personally know him from personal experience as Savior? For all people. By the way, when the shepherds got there to Bethlehem, what did they have to offer? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They had nothing to offer. Well, that's wrong. They had something to offer. Themselves. They're just themselves. So maybe we're going to sing Silent Night. We're going to light the candles, and it's a very special time. It's a calming time in my life. We're going to do that in just a second. But maybe there's one or many here tonight that you would see yourself as kind of an outsider. Maybe that's how others have treated you. Maybe that's how you feel. Maybe in your heart of hearts, if you could have a private counseling session with my wife and I, you would say, "I feel undervalued and overlooked." Maybe you'd say, "Man, my job's a dead-end job." Maybe you would say, "I'm not sure anybody cares, and it doesn't seem like anybody sees." Maybe your best friend is an animal. Well, just yesterday, we had a lady in distress that lives in this community, and she was looking for a safe spot for a couple of hours. And so for the very first time during the day, she walked through the doors. She just needed a safe place to be. On Monday, my wife counseled with a young lady, maybe 20, who just felt like maybe the easiest thing to do in life is to end her life. We get dressed up on Christmas Eve or for weddings, and yet maybe you would say, even in this room, together alone would describe me. Well, here's the inside scoop for you. You are seen. You are welcomed. You're not overlooked. When Christ died on the cross, he died for you. He says to come to me if you're weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. If you see me as the Savior on the cross and you ask me to take your sins away, I'll forgive your sins. I'll give you something even better than that. I'll give you eternal life. I'll invite you into my family. You'll be my friend. Could there be any other good news of great joy than that? Money cannot buy that. Money cannot buy that. Just yesterday, I got a text. A lady from this church, somebody else extended a gift. They wanted to give anonymously to somebody in need. And so I anonymously was able to give the gift to this lady. And here's the text I got. She wrote me, and I quote, "I serve Elroy." Elroy is the Old Testament name for God, and it literally means the God who sees. She said, and she's had a difficult go. She said, I serve Elroy, the God who sees. To feel God so ever present and so active is so humbling and such an honor. Thank you, Lord. That's the God who went to the cross to carve a way so that you don't have to be an outsider. You can grab the inside scoop and you can become part of his family. Is that not the greatest news in all the world? It is. It is. He invites you tonight from the gospel, the good news. He invites you tonight to be his friend and a child in his family. Why would you leave here settling for religion or just church or the life that you've led? Why not ask him, come into my life, take away my sins. I want to change the direction. I want purpose in my life, and I want meaning. He will do it. Amen. He will do it. Let me pray. Father, thank you. I'm so thankful. Lord, I remember the day for me a long time ago, 42 years ago now, where I didn't know the phrase together alone, but I was in a group, but I never felt so lonely in all my life. I didn't think anybody could understand. I didn't think anybody felt that way. And even though I had grown up highly religious, I was totally lost, and you reached down and you showed me the difference between religion and what a relationship with you was. You extended, you knocked on the door of my heart. You asked to come into my life. You humbled me enough to invite you in to take my sins away and to give me eternal life. You are everything in my life in 42 years that you ever said you would be. Like the woman who was blessed anonymously by somebody in this church, you are the God who sees. Lord, I know right now in the room with this many people, there's somebody that's just absolutely brokenhearted. Lord, would you heal them as only you could do? Would they feel your presence here tonight as only you could do? Could they, Lord, hear your still small voice inviting them into a relationship? Could they see you as dying on the cross and then being buried and rise again for them in their place? Oh, Lord, would you move their heart to leap towards yours? Lord, as a community of believers called the Lakeside Family, might we be ever like the shepherds who could not believe this good news of great joy. And they went to see that it was so. And then they went running from there to tell everybody in Bethlehem. They didn't care if people would listen to them or not. They wanted to tell them. Might that be the Lakeside Church family? Well, thank you for it in Christ's precious name. Amen.